The Catholic bishops of Southern Africa have written a pastoral letter on corruption, pointing out that the scourge is much more than a government problem. They have called for greater attention to the damage caused in society and in the church by rampant corruption and encourage all to work towards its eradication. The bishops have also called on individual Christians and parishes to join in supporting the International Ecumenical Exposed campaign that was set up to shine a light on corruption and to do something about it. I asked Raymond Perrier, the director of the Jesuit Institute in South Africa, to tell me about his organization's involvement in the campaign.
Exposed is an international ecumenical initiative to look at the scourge of corruption and what Christian communities can do about it. So it's international, that it's started in the UK, but it's spreading around the world, and we're taking up the South African end. And it's also ecumenical. So some of the organizations behind it are people like the Salvation Army, the Micah Challenge, Christian Aid, and so on. Many of the same organizations that were behind initiatives like the Jubilee Debt Campaign and the Make Poverty History Campaign.
In this campaign, you're really asking people to do some very specific things.
Well, the idea of Exposed is to challenge corruption at three levels: at the personal level, the local level, and the global level. And perhaps one of the issues about corruption is we tend to worry about the big global question and not think enough about our own personal role. The global issue is focused on the G20 summit, which will be taking place in Australia next year, because it's one of the things scheduled for that summit. And there is a belief that Australia, as the chairs of that summit, will take the tackling of corruption seriously. So as part of that, people are being asked to sign an international petition, to get involved in campaigning with their politicians and so on. At the local level, we're asking people to look at what's happening in their area in terms of corruption and identifying it and really addressing it. One of the arguments is that corruption takes place because we don't shine a light on it, because we don't draw attention to it, and actually after a while we just get used to it and we turn a blind eye. So part of the challenge there is, well, what are the areas of corruption that are happening in my local area, and what can I do about it? But as I say, the starting level is the personal, and that's why I think it's important that this is a Christian campaign, because this is saying we can't point the finger at other people, we can't point the finger at government if we're not also willing to point the finger at ourselves. Ask ourselves, what can I do? What are the ways in which I am complicit in corruption, either because of corrupt practices or because I am turning a blind eye to corrupt practices that I know about and can do something about?
A very Jesuitical approach, if I may say.
As long as you mean Jesuitical in the positive way, then yes. Yes, exactly. So if we're trying to change the world, we have to start with changing ourselves. And obviously that's a fundamental tenet of all Christian theology. And in the context of, for example, South Africa, that's quite interesting. Unlike, I hope, the countries that many of your listeners are used to, this is a country where people take low-level corruption almost for granted. So, for example, I'm shocked coming here from the outside at how readily people will go out to a party and drink over the limit and then drive home. And if you ask them about it, they just shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, if I get stopped by the police, I can always pay a bribe and I won't be fined or I won't be arrested. So paying a bribe to a traffic cop is seen as just part of the normal cost of driving, as it were. And what's quite interesting about that is the way in which people constantly complain about corrupt police officers, but they don't notice that actually if motorists weren't bribing the police officers, then they wouldn't be corrupt. So it's easy to point the finger at the person receiving the bribe, but perhaps people don't recognize what complicity they have as the person who's paying the bribe.
And of course, this mentality and this mindset have a huge effect on how your governors are elected and on how government itself performs. And I understand that this is a big problem in South Africa.
Absolutely. So it's a culture in which, okay, we've got very good democracy now, obviously since 1994, but it is a culture in which people don't hold politicians to account. So people complain about the lack of service, but then they will happily go and vote the same person back into office. Or if they meet the person, they tell them how wonderful they are because they want a favor from them or they want to be seen to be in with the ruling party, rather than actually challenging them on corrupt practices. So part of this is to say that if individuals feel that they can't do that confidently by themselves, then how can we work together as church communities to do that? I'll give you a very practical example. One of the ideas is to put in the back of churches in a town a bribe book or a bribe box. And the idea of that is if you are asked by somebody to pay a bribe, you write in the box or you or in the book or you put in a piece of paper, put it in the box, the place, the time, the date, and what the situation was. You don't put the name of the person. So this isn't about pointing fingers at individuals. And then at the end of the month, boxes open the books and collect them across the community, the different churches in the community, and begin to see a pattern. So you might notice that there are a number of, for example, of government officials asking for bribes. So there's a particular office in the local municipal building where bribes are frequently being asked. So then you call in the mayor and say, we're not going to tell you who this person is, but we can tell you that on these dates and in this situation, somebody kept asking for bribe. We want you to go away, find out the person, and do something about it. And then you monitor that over time, and you see where the action is actually being taken. So by collecting the information together, you actually get a better sense of the pattern of what's happening. And then people realize that they are going to be held accountable. Because if the mayor doesn't do anything about it, then you hold the mayor accountable, if the mayor doesn't hold the official accountable.
It is such a widespread problem. The Catholic bishops of Southern Africa have written a pastoral letter on corruption and have actually asked the people of South Africa to embrace the Exposed campaign and to take it up.
They have indeed. The bishops had a letter that was read at all masses. Our bishops' conference covers South Africa, Botswana and Swaziland, so it's three countries in the area. And what's really interesting about it, they quote a very interesting comment that Pope Francis made when he was still Archbishop in Buenos Aires. And he said that one of the problems with corruption, one of the ways in which it's worse than other sins, is that it's a habit that hardens the heart, and so we become insensitive to other sins as well. And so they're seeing corruption and our acceptance of corruption as actually an underlying problem. It's not just a problem in its own right, but it's a problem which then makes other problems worse.
Raymond, can I ask how the campaign has been received in the parishes, and do you know how people are responding to it?
I think, as always with these things, it's mixed. You've got a lot of people whom I've met who've, for example, I was at the office of the president the other day, and a Catholic who works there came up to me and said, oh, I've seen this campaign that you guys are involved in. I'm really pleased that the church is taking a stand on corruption. I'm pleased that the bishops are talking about it. I'm pleased that they're drawing it to people's attention. So there are some people who really are taking an interest. There are some people who, I guess, anything which looks remotely political, they get anxious about and they shrug it off. And I think there are some people who are a little worried by it, because the fact that it's asking people to address their own behavior can be hard. We live in a country in which a lot of government officials are corrupt. By definition, a good number of those are going to be Catholics. So what are they doing about it? What stance are they taking? And to what extent should somebody who's working in an organization which is corrupt actually stand up and blow the whistle and obviously face some consequences themselves? We're saying that they should. We're saying that is part of our obligation as Catholics, but obviously that's a hard thing to do.
Is there anything else that you would like to say that we haven't addressed?
The only other thing I'd like to add is I was very struck that the bishops, in talking about corruption, weren't afraid to say that there's corruption in the church as well. And I think in this regard, they are in line with Pope Francis, who, of course, has taken seriously the issue of greater transparency for the Vatican Bank, greater transparency in financial matters. As a church, if we're going to stand up to corruption, we have to be willing to have that light shine on our own practices and our own organizations and make sure that we are a model of transparent and non-corrupt organizations. And you can't take the assumption that perhaps many church people have done in the past that, well, anything the church does automatically is good, because we have to demonstrate that. We have to be transparent about it.